Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we were going to have the whole gang in the office this morning, but Andy Cohn, editor of Counselor magazine, mucked that up. Andy's on line six. Andy, what happened?
Oh, my car died yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were there. You saw it.
So,
the battery, I guess, is completely dead.
All right, so you were here in Trevis yesterday. Your battery died, and yet you made it home an hour and a half away to Tuckahoe, New York. How did that work?
I did. Well, Joe Haley was nice enough to give me a jump, and that worked.
Hey there, Sailor.
Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And that worked just about all the way home. It was great on the highway. And then got about a quarter mile from the mechanic that I was going to leave the car at overnight and got stopped at a red light and died at the red light.
So then what happened?
It was a tough evening.
Hmm. And how did you get the car then from there to the mechanic?
Well, my wife was good enough to come and give me a jump also.
Uh-huh. Two jumps in one day.
Although a little bit different. And we basically pretty much pushed the car to the mechanic.
So I'm guessing that Donna pushed and you steered. Is that right?
Well, Jason pushed.
Okay. You're a four-year-old. Or yes, five-year-old. Yes. Well, we're happy to have you, even if it's just on the phone.
Oh, thank you.
Michelle Bell, editor of Supply Global Resource, is back with us after a vacation in Avalon, New Jersey. She's shaking her head in bliss. Michelle, what was the best thing that you did on vacation?
Oh, God, not
work.
So much. Yeah, not be here. I love you guys to death, but not being here was really nice.
Did you?
And just being on the beach and lying in the sun,
was a nice
it was fabulous.
Beach. Hot.
Yeah, it was great.
Hot. That's great. Well, Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor, is here this morning. Now, Joe, I know you're going to rant later, and we get lots and lots of questions from listeners. Where does Joe get the material for his rants? Does he make it up?
God.
I said it's all heartfelt.
No, it's my everyday life.
So
my
every day you have something to rant about.
Well, not every day. I'm not that crotchety.
Yes,
but
you are.
I am not.
You
but
do
there's
have
enough
rants
stuff
every day.
In this world that
so there's no shortage of material for Joe Haley.
Absolutely not. I have reams of it.
Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages Magazine, is here, and she helped hold down the fort last week. Kath, how was it with several of us missing from the office?
It was delightful.
Well,
I bet it was
you.
Nice and quiet, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
We've also got our tech guru, Steve Hawk, is here. Steve, I hear today is a very special day for you. It's a birthday?
Yes, it is.
He is shaking his head.
Happy
and how
birthday.
Old are we, Steve?
I'm 27.
Oh, my God. He's
my
so
God,
young.
You're
he's
ancient.
Just a baby.
You are
wow.
ancient.
Kathy, you're old enough to be his mom.
Yes, probably. If I was 19.
Happy birthday, Steve. And, of course, Samantha is manning the phones, ready to take your calls on any topic you'd like to comment on. Call us at any time today during the show at 215-953-4979. And if we put you on the air, we will gladly send you a $25 gift card. Joe, what's on tap for today's show?
Well, on today's special Steve Hawk birthday show, we'll be chatting with some of the hot people who appear on this year's Counselor's Hot List
Ooh.
That just came out. Kathy has a look at how volunteerism booms in a weak economy and how that represents a sales opportunity for ad specialties. Andy has a story about airlines using its Twitter to sell last-minute seats and how this type of word-of-mouth marketing tool has reached sales of $1.5 billion, and that is billion with a B. We're sure Michelle would never be caught dead in a pair of mom shorts, but as strange as that might sound, those shorts and 80s crop tops are all the fashion rage right now. Get this, blue M&Ms have been linked to a reduction in spine injuries, and they're available in the industry as well. Andy has 7 tips for improving your brand. How do you bridge the gap between bosses and employees? Stay tuned to find out as Kathy has the answers. I have a story about how pay raise alternatives can lead to motivated employees. Some people are addicted to drugs, others are addicted to praise. Keep listening to find out if you are, in fact, a praise junkie. If we have time for my rant, I'll get something off of my chest today. But first, the industry news with Andy.
Go, Andy.
Thanks.
From Tuckahoe.
Counselor Top 40 supplier Sunscope announced that it has acquired fellow supplier Premium Shapes. Premium Shapes principals Brian Seltzer, Randy Seltzer, and Matt Dansex will continue with the company. Premium Shapes will also continue sales operations in New Jersey and manufacturing in Brooklyn, New York, as well as at Sunscope's facility in Commerce, California. Premium Shapes will operate as a division of Sunscope, but will maintain its own ASI number. Get ready for stricter safety rules on children's products. As of next week, August 14th, new labeling and tracking rules go into effect, which mandate that every product intended for children display clear labels. Also, penalties for violating the CPSIA law increase from $1.8 million to $15 million. Follow Promogram this week for the impending new regulations. In other acquisition news, supplier Visual Promotions has purchased printing company 5K Ad Specialty. Bill Noth, 5K's previous owner, will now join Visual to manage the company's pad printing production. All of 5K's equipment and employees will be relocated from Houston to Visual's plant in Sealy, Texas. Plus, in Promogram later today, we'll have a brand new episode of The Joe Show. Joe, what are you looking at today?
Well, Andy, there were so many great products we found out in Chicago, I couldn't show them all from Chicago, so I brought some back, and I'd like to show our viewers that today.
Will you be riding a bicycle?
I won't be riding a bicycle, but that bike was for sale at the end of the show. Wow. For $100.
Had a bike?
You didn't get it?
No, I didn't. I really had no way to get it back here.
Well, thank you, Andy. Andy Counselor's hot list just came out in the August issue of Counselor magazine.
It's hot off the presses.
It is hot off the presses. We've got 40 new people on the list. Now, how do we determine who makes the hot list?
You know, we look for people that are shaking up the market, as we like to say, doing unique things, taking interesting approaches to their business, networking like crazy, doing things that are, let's say, out of the box and out of the norm.
Out of the box. Well, we got 40 great people. Check out this month's counselor for that. And we've got a couple of the hot people on the line to talk to us this morning. On line two, we had Fred Parker from Bluegrass Promotional Marketing. Good morning, Fred.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, Fred. Congratulations on being on the counselor hot list.
Thank you. I have to tell you that I feel really hot right now as I'm driving my family 2 hours far with the thing on the top of the Suburban, a thing on the back of the Suburban, and the dog in the back. So I think I look more like Clark Griswold right now.
And where are you driving? I know you're based in North Carolina.
I'm driving at Northern Wisconsin to get my stuff from 7 week summer camp.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's great. Well, Fred, I know that Bluegrass is always doing some unique things. What do you think, what are you doing this year you think that earned you a spot on the hot list?
Well, you know, I think for us, really, and I'll say a good friend of mine, Fran Ford, who I have to wish many good thoughts and prayers for him as he's recovering from surgery this week, has always said Bluegrass is kind of an under-the-radar company. And I think for what we're doing this year, is we're really just staying true to who we are, which is a traditional distributor model that offers a traditional split as far as salespeople as well as fulfillment programs. And I think the economy in itself is creating opportunities for us.
That's great. Now, what's the most creative thing you guys do at Bluegrass that distributors could learn from, do you think?
Creative. Well, I think, you know, part of what's unique about Bluegrass is our business model. And we are very closely aligned with an ad agency. And so when we have projects from you know, various customers and we really need that creative flair, we reach out to our agency partner.
That's great. Hey, Fred, are you guys still doing a lot of self-promotions?
Yes, we are.
What's the most recent one you did?
Well, we've done several this year. One that is real popular with a lot of the salespeople is we did a Magic 8-Ball, which was an answer ball, and we came up with a theme that is Bluegrass is the answer, that we're using in a campaign not only industry-wide for distributor salespeople, but also with our customers.
Oh, that's great. Did it get a good response?
It's got a great response.
Well, thank you so much, Fred. Good luck on the rest of your trip, and congratulations on being on the counselor hot list.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
We will
see
talk
you,
to you again soon.
All right. See you guys.
On line one, we have Christopher Duffy from Bag Makers. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Christopher.
Hey, Chris. Congratulations on being on the counselor hot list.
Well, thank you very much. I think it was a very nice distinction.
Now, I just heard a rumor, and I just need to know if it's true. Michelle Bell claims that you used to give her piggyback rides. Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
Interesting. Okay.
Around parties. Around parties
at the shows. I'd like to see a video of that.
And I believe there's actually a picture to prove that somewhere in the archives.
We're going to have to find it. Be sure to send it to us. We'll put it up on our ASI Radio website. Christopher,
that's right. I think I'll wait for the paperback.
Christopher, I know Bagmakers is doing really well. I mean, last year's numbers were extremely impressive. Tell us, what are you guys doing right now?
Oh, I think it's a couple things where we've been very fortunate. The product line's been very popular and lucrative for distributors. But from our own side of the business, we really focused on service this year. I know that's kind of a cliche, but we realize now there's a lot of competition. And that's the only way you can differentiate yourself. Even if you have all the technology out there, people still want to deal with people. And we focused on some training in how to do that. We just do well on the phones, and then we do what we say we're going to do.
Christopher, you were recently on a webinar that I moderated, and the topic was suppliers that have double and triple digit growth. And I know Bagmakers had 47% growth and cracked the top 40 this year for the first time. And one of the points you made, and if you could expand on that, was even though pharma is off as a market, I remember you said that healthcare was still big for you guys. And if you could talk about how you found selling opportunities in that market, that'd be super.
Well, that's exactly right. We have found that pharma isn't buying a lot of our bags, but healthcare is. And it's getting down to the grassroots level. As a supplier, we're fortunate that we get to see every logo that goes through the building. And we've started tracking that to see what industries are doing the best. We actually spend time looking at it. And we found that at the grassroots level, there are hospitals, like maternity wards or ERs, clinics, individual doctors, dentists, and eye clinics, and orthopedics, chiropractors, all these types of grassroots healthcare organizations are finding a great use for bags. And it's just not one use, it's just multiple things they're doing. It's been that market stands out. It's far and away the number one logo we're seeing going through the building.
Well, that's great. Congratulations, Christopher, on your continued success with Bagmakers, and congrats on being on the counselor hot list.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, and
thanks,
have a great
Chris.
Day.
Thank you.
Andy, I guess some of these hot list winners are going to party with us in Vegas. Is that right?
That's right. We have a great party planned in Vegas for members of the hot list, and it should be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, that's in September at the ASI Holiday and Incentives Expo. We're going to pause now for a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And we'll be back soon to talk about a new sales opportunity for ad specialty distributors.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@iPromoteU.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We're taking your calls all show this morning at 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, we will send you a $25 Visa gift card. But let's talk for a moment, guys, about volunteerism. There's a spike of that right now in the weak economy, and I guess that is presenting itself with some opportunities for distributors. Kath, fill us
in. That's right. There's what people are calling a compassion boom going on.
So what, people are joining the Peace Corps, I heard.
They're joining the Peace Corps. Instead of people worrying about their own problems, they're thinking of others for a change. And here are some stats. The number of volunteers increased 2% in 2007 mm-hmm. To 62 million volunteers.
Uh-huh.
And among young adults, it's even more. Ages 16 to 24, it increased almost 6%. On average, 26% of Americans continue to donate their time. So people are giving their time when they can't give their money. And it seems like this presents some good opportunities for distributors to sell recruiting items for nonprofits,
yep.
as well as rewards for all those volunteers. And you can check volunteering in your specific state at volunteeringinamerica.gov.
Volunteeringinamerica.gov. Okay, well, that could be a new market for some out there.
Yep. And for anybody who wants to volunteer, check it out too.
All right. Thanks very much. We've talked a lot about using Twitter as a sales tool, and that's something that airlines are apparently using right now. Andy, what do you got for us?
Well, word-of-mouth marketing has spread tremendously, obviously, over the past couple of years. And a new report just came out that said that Companies spent more than $1.5 billion on word-of-mouth marketing. That grew more than 14% in 2008. Even more impressively, the forecast is for word-of-mouth marketing to grow another 10% this year when most other media are obviously facing decreases. And we found a couple of airlines, JetBlue and United Airlines, that are now using Twitter to offer up to their followers last-minute fares. And these are like the cheapest fares possible. Recently, JetBlue offered a $9 one-way trip from JFK in New York to Nantucket.
Why didn't you jump on that, Andy? That's in your area.
Well, yeah, JFK is, but, you know, I've never been to Nantucket.
Well, there's
your
chance.
Although for $9, I mean, who could beat that?
Right.
No joke about Nantucket, Joe.
I have nothing about Nantucket.
There once was a man from Nantucket.
Right.
Okay, moving on.
Keep going.
And what they're doing is they're posting these fares, and then their followers on Twitter have to basically act within the span of hours. In some cases, it could be within an hour. So they could both JetBlue and United are posting these fares onto Twitter, and then it's only the last minute flyers that could really
do. They have to fly like that day, or like
yeah, it's they have to buy it that day, and then it's usually to fly within the next 24 to 48 hours.
So you really have to be light on your feet, and you can't have too many responsibilities.
Yeah, I'd say people with kids at home probably aren't doing these things.
Right.
Gotcha. So I'm the demographic.
Yeah, Michelle, you could
have
taken
cats.
That flight.
You have to take
Well, you do
cats.
Have a job, though. That's yeah. the thing.
Yeah, but, you know, that's just a little thing.
So, I just couldn't see you in Nantucket, though.
I know.
I could.
So did you guys hear that?
You know, it just seems interesting that companies are starting to find ways to actually sell their products and services on Twitter. And, you know, not just using it as a social network trying to connect with their audience, but actually using it as a sales tool. So there's something there for everybody to think about.
I'm going to be Twittering. Everybody try to contain their
shock.
Well,
now, wait a minute.
I'm
you said
scared.
You would never.
I said I would. Yeah, I did say that. I still Facebook I consider a scourge, but I am going to be Twittering very soon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is worth it.
That's a little more self-involved.
Is that what Joe's rant is
about
today?
That's more self-involved than Facebook.
Yeah, Andy, we've talked about Twitter and Facebook as a sales tool, but in terms of social networking, is there a market there for distributors to partner with companies who are using social networking? I mean, I know that some companies, are able to combine social networking with promotional products. Have you seen any of that?
Well, I think that distributors certainly could use Twitter more than Facebook, but as a sales tool, like these airlines that we were talking about.
Sure.
I'm not sure if that's what you were referring to, but there are distributors that are definitely starting to offer specials on Twitter and use it as a way to connect with their clients, not just in the manner of talking about themselves and their company's operations, but actually offering new services, offering products that maybe they hadn't heard of before, doing product demos, in a sense, and showing their clients exactly how they could use them. So they're really incorporating it as a sales tool.
I've seen suppliers doing that, too.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. What I was actually talking about is, is there an opportunity for distributors to partner with companies who are using social networking and also sell them promotional products?
Mm-hmm.
I know we're doing an article in the upcoming issue of Successful Promotions magazine. It's talking about how Pepsi is partnering with all these bloggers and actually giving them the bloggers prize packs to give away on their sites, for answering questions
and
doing things with the blog. So I think we're going to see more of that in the future, perhaps.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of creative applications online through Twitter and Facebook and other social networks. Companies are starting to get very creative with how they use it. And I think it's pretty exciting, actually.
And now Michelle's using it, so it's very exciting.
It's not as I disagree with Joe. It's not as creepy to me as Facebook because people can't, post photos and they can only post a comment to me, is my understanding. Facebook, I still think, is just...
Well, Facebook, though, only your friends can see your photos.
Yeah. Did you guys see Entourage Sunday night? They had the funniest line. Vincent Chase asked E, he said, "Why aren't you on Facebook?" And he said, "Because I'm an adult." And there it is in a nutshell.
And Michelle's an adult, apparently, then. We have a caller on line one. Mary would like to talk about trade shows. Good morning, Mary.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Mary, what's your comment today?
Well, I always get information about the different trade shows, all the ASI shows, and some of the other types of shows around for ad marketing specialists.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to go to every single one of them, but how do you determine which are the best ones to go? And how do you convince your family you need to be away for a couple of days? What's the value to us that we can then tell our families?
I think those are two different questions.
Well, I would say, I'm assuming you're a distributor?
Yes, I am.
I would say that, of course you can't go to every single show. I would look geographically, and I would pick two. I would pick one that's local to your region, and I would pick a national show to go to. And I would say that the argument to go is, from your standpoint, to be able to make connections with the suppliers. They're going to be much more apt to help you and give you special deals if they know you in person and they're able to build relationships with you. And also, as Joe is nodding to me, the new products that you get to see, and I'll let him talk about that.
Oh, yeah, there's aisles and aisles of new products. You actually get to see them up close, feel them, hold them, and you can, again, start talking with suppliers, and they can give you great ideas how you can present these to your clients. Also, we have education at the ASI shows. I mean, tons of education.
Free education.
Yeah. And you can learn a whole slew of things that can help you from everything to how to imprint products and how to sell wearables. And we have a whole new distributor track that can help you from start to finish get up and running.
And also, Mary, we're having a virtual trade show on August 19th, so you should check that out too.
And, you know, Mary, have you been to our Orlando show?
No, I got into the business in January, so I kind of missed that. I did go to the New York show.
Well, why not
bring? I loved the education.
Why not bring the whole family to Orlando? Then they really can't complain. It's great. you know, a lot of distributors do bring their family members to shows. We see kids, at night running around doing things with the parents. I mean, and Orlando seems like the perfect destination.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, good luck
thanks,
and
Mary.
Have a great day, Mary. Thanks for calling. Stay on the line for your $25 Visa gift card.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Michelle's going to talk about some strange fashion. Now, Joe mentioned mom shorts. You're going to have to explain what that is. And crop tops. I hope that people aren't wearing those together.
Mm.
They are.
Okay. Yeah, they are. I'm going to start by saying that all of these things I consider fashion atrocities.
Okay.
And we're going to start with the half belly shirts. And I'm going to ask all of you to remember back. We had an intern who would wear half shirts and did not have the physique to wear half shirts.
Well, even if you did, that's not appropriate in the workplace. I'm going to be Joe Haley for a minute.
Thank you.
Even I would put my foot down with that.
The workplace, yeah. But also, this is a trend that is pervasive in society now that, you know, younger girls are wearing half shirts. But also, so are people, older women who probably should not be wearing half shirts.
But even the younger girls that don't have the physiques for them are wearing them. They don't care. They're just letting their bellies hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And our friends at American Apparel are brought out a line of half shirts because they are always on the retro trend.
Mm-hmm. But I bet their models don't have.
Yeah, I bet they don't have problems.
Well, their models look like they were on a hunger strike for Christmas.
Well, good point. All right, and what are mom shorts? Mm-hmm. I assume they're mom jeans, but the short version?
You know what? I'm going to put this link up on our website so you can actually see the visuals. But, I mean, if everyone just closes their eyes and pictures, did you guys see that photo of Jessica Simpson in her mom jeans?
Oh,
when they
yeah.
said that she gains
yes.
a lot of weight. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Now, picture that as mom shorts, like the long denim Bermuda shorts, like right above the knee. And Joe is sighing and wincing. Bad, bad, bad.
Wow, that is so unfortunate.
There's probably a waistband. Like, I bet you the
waistband
is too high, right?
Yeah, which isn't flattering on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's back. This is all kind of harkens back to 80s stuff. The next one is Hawaiian, like Hawaiian print shirts, which I know Kathy's husband, I think, is
Steve's a big fan of those.
Well,
yes.
I think Steve has been wearing them for so long, they have come back in style
yes,
for Steve.
See?
And does he wear mom shorts with them?
No, he doesn't.
Thank goodness.
Dad jeans.
All right, so those are all fashion no-nos as far as I'm concerned.
They're all fashion no-nos, but they're all in retail now
and perhaps they'll be
selling like hotcakes.
All right,
Hawaiian shirt's good for vacation. If you're on the islands.
And parties.
Yeah.
You know.
I can't wear them because I'm
make
short
you feel
and they
festive.
Make me look like a penguin because they're too
Yeah, they would look like
long,
a dress
long.
On you.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe, let's move on to you. You've got a new application for blue M&Ms besides eating, apparently.
Yeah, check this out. First of all, M&Ms are now available in the industry.
Yes,
they
Mars,
did exhibited at ASI show in Chicago and sponsored.
Yes, you guys have your ASI show M&Ms. I'm still eating mine.
Absolutely, and they also sponsored our buses there. So the same blue food dye that's found in M&Ms can be used to reduce damage caused by spinal injuries. And it's a pretty technical piece that we're going to post online later. It came from CNNHealth.com, but they found out by injecting rats with spinal injuries with that same dye into the spinal cord that they had recovery from that, and they were able to gain their mobility again, although with a limp. Now, I'm sure that anyone, if they suffered a spinal injury, would rather have a limp.
Mm-hmm.
than right. not be able to walk. But the only side effect is that the mice turn blue.
Are you? Is this a joke?
No, it's not.
People can turn blue.
That's
a considerable side
effect. The only side effect was the treated mice temporarily turned blue.
Well, listen, then you could become a member of the Blue Man Group. Mm. So there you go.
They have pictures on this this link as well.
And all right.
The mice are ever so cute. But they have
blue.
It is. They have little blue ears and blue
they're
nose
like Smurfs.
And blue hands.
Yeah.
But they haven't started hands. Testing this yet. On humans, but they're getting closer. The FDA is going to approve this very soon. So
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think it is.
All right. So well, check that out on asicentral.com/radio. Now Andy's got 7 steps for improving your brand.
Well, we found an article that covers 7 steps. I'll cover a few here, and we'll post the article to our website, and you can see them all. But the first is to verify whether you're living up to your brand promise. You know, make sure that your company is actually doing what your brand says it's doing. So if you tout customer service, you know, are you actually providing the type of customer service that you promise in your with your brand messaging? And the second is sort of along those lines. Does your logo visually match your brand message? You know, everybody wants a cool logo, but, you know, does it actually visually accurately reflect what you're trying to say through your brand messaging? And then a couple quick ones. Check out what your competition is doing. You know, you always want to know exactly how their brand stacks up to your brand and make sure that you're aligned differently so you can have that point of differentiation in your brand messaging. And the last one is to get feedback from clients, but not just asking them, actually trying to use a third-party research company to find out what they think of your brand and whether you're living up to what your brand messaging says it's doing, because you'll get better feedback through a third-party research organization than you will just asking by yourself.
Gotcha. Thanks, Andy. And this is something that distributors, I'm sure, could use, too, to help clients improve their brands as well.
Absolutely, especially in that logo design area.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Kathy is going to tell us about how to bridge the gap between bosses and employees.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if Melinda adheres to these strategies.
Interesting. Go
okay,
ahead.
This is how to keep your company afloat and ensure that employees will stick around when times get better. First of all, nix the double standards. Like, you don't expect employees to do something that you wouldn't do yourself, right?
Gotcha.
You can't just sit back and not have the same standard for yourself. Share the work. Nothing irks employees more than when their boss doles out the dirty work.
Wow, you're looking right at me.
I'm looking at you, Melinda. Now, this is something you definitely adhere to. Make them laugh. Humor is proven to reduce stress and take the edge off of a tense conversation. And we know that you're a wacko and you do wacky things.
Well, and speaking of that, we did have a foot race, and a couple of you missed it, but Joe was here
I was there.
For it.
A foot race?
We had a race. Did you hear about this?
No.
Oh, I heard all
ASI
about it.
Has a very long hallway. And I was looking at CJ, one of our editors, and Matt, another one, and I said, gee, I wonder which one of you would be faster in a foot race. And then somehow it evolved into a whole big race out in the hall. I gave away a $25 gift card.
Where was I? I could have won that foot race.
To the winner. Joe, did you say go? How did it work?
No, you said
I said go. Dana was way at the other end like a flag girl in like a demolition or a drag race, and they ran as fast as they could down the hall.
It was the funniest thing.
This is why other departments think that we're special.
Well, but see, apparently
Matt cheated.
This is good though. This
but
is
apparently
good.
I did the right thing.
You did the right thing.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely.
It was so much fun.
It was, and luckily no one was injured.
10 minutes of sheer joy.
I'll give
joy.
You one
it
more
really
tip.
Was.
I'll give you one more tip. You have to share your thought process with your employees, especially during tough times when they're worried about keeping their jobs. You earn goodwill by being open about the choices you make.
That's totally true. Yep. That's I think our CEO Tim Andrews does that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
He holds quarterly all company meetings mm-hmm. where he gets he sits everyone down and tells them, look, here's what's going on,
right.
Here's how we did this quarter, mm-hmm. here are our challenges, and I think people really appreciate that.
Right.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy.
You're welcome.
We talked about pay raises a few weeks ago and how some companies are not providing them this year. Joe's got some more updates on that.
Yeah, it's a difficult time for some companies, so they can't afford to give out pay raises. So according to ManageSmarter.com, a management website, they offer some tips of what you can do. One, share concert or sports tickets that you get from vendors.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they will go to a president and executive, but they can share them with their employees. Fold employees into a company's cell phone plan if you have one. A lot of times those plan comes with bucket minutes that can be shared, so you're going to give employees free minutes. Award new titles and get that employee new business cards. That can do a lot for morale. Offer flex hours or the ability to telecommute from home. I mean, people hate driving in traffic, and depending on where you are, you might have a lot of traffic jams, a lot of, you know, aggravation in the morning. If you do this, let them have flex hours. They can cruise to work, and they'll be a lot happier. And finally, let employees come up with their own ideas of what would motivate them, and if it's doable, implement those plans. So you've empowered them, and they're going to be happy from the empowerment and also from whatever it is that's going to be
the perk. I think that last
one's
a great idea.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, good alternatives to pay raises. Thank you, Joe. And now you can switch gears and rant because we have just enough time.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I get up Saturday morning, just this past Saturday, and I go to the world's busiest Wawa for a cup of coffee. As usual, there's a crush of activity inside the place. People are everywhere. So I mosey over to the coffee center to grab a cup, but can't because I'm being blocked by someone talking on his cell phone. This really important person has no regard for those around him as he talks rather loudly and goes about his business very slowly. Look, buddy. Put down the phone or pay attention. All I want is a cup and a sleeve, and I'll be on my way. Now, later in the day, I have to run to the mall, and as I get to the door at Macy's, the same type of person is standing there on the phone, chit-chatting away and blocking the entrance. She was in no hurry to get through the door, and she was not the least bit concerned that I was right behind her, and she's in such a position that I can't squeeze by her. Now, we're shifting now to it's early evening, and my wife and I go out to eat at a new favorite pub called The Drake. It was fantastic. As we get to the hostess station, there in front of us is some guy blabbering on his cell phone as the hostess waits to seat him. Come on already. Does everyone really have to wait for you? So, three times in one day, I was put on hold from going about my business because someone with a cell phone was more important than everyone else. When did this happen? When did we, as a society, become so wrapped up in ourselves that we forgot about others, Michelle? Do me a favor. If you can't multitask with a cell phone to your ear, either hang up or step aside. I truly appreciate it.
How do you live through the day when you're so put upon?
On that note, thank you so much, Joe. We are out of time today. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You. Be sure to tune in next week, same time, same place, when we'll be answering your questions about corporate gifts. Have a great day.